Welcome to the Countdown Podcast, and this is it. This is our review of The Batman. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then, in what will be a very careful to be non-spoiler review to start with.
Initially, yes.
Because we were very lucky, with thanks to Universal Pictures and Warner Brothers for letting us into an advanced screening here, which we're recording straight after.
So what was it, an hour ago we saw this movie?
Yeah, we walked out of the cinema about an hour and 15 minutes ago, so we had time to get back here and just type some quick notes out, but literally this is as close to an instant reaction as you'll ever get on this show, and we hope to have it out for you in time for you to see it whenever you do.
We also had to have McDonald's for dinner because we didn't have time to have dinner before it. It just came right back.
Nothing open afterwards in our sleepy city.
Hollow, yes.
The Batman is directed by Matt Reeves and is written by he and Peter Craig, of course, based on the characters from DC, in particular Bob Kane. And what's the person they're now attributing, Wayne?
Bill Finger.
Bill Finger. What's the story
there? Well, Bill Finger is actually the guy who came up with a lot of the Batman lore. Mm. Bob Kane is actually a bit of a cunt.
Oh.
Yeah, he actually is a bit. He knows Stan Lee and stuff, and Stan Lee talks about why
Is he the Stan Lee of the DC world?
He's a bit of a big braggart motherfucker. So, right. But Bill Finger did a lot of the work, and his estate has fought for this. So, yes.
Okay. Well, that's nice to see his name then on the credits. You, of course, being a huge Batman fan, for those who might be joining us for the first time. It stars Robert Pattinson as the Batman, Zoe Kravitz, Paul Dano, Jeffrey Wright, John Turturro, Peter Sarsgaard, Andy Serkis, and Colin Farrell. It's 176 minutes long, and the budget is $200 million. Wayne. Without spoilers, what is it about?
The Batman is about Batman who ventures into Gotham City's underworld when a sadistic killer leaves behind a trail of cryptic-ass clues. So the evidence starts to mount and lead closer to home, and the scale of the perp's plans become clear. He's got to forge new relationships, unmask the culprit, and bring justice to the abuse of power that has happened to Gotham City.
All right, there it is. Now, the critical response, obviously, it's pretty limited at this point in time. They are projecting this film will make $100 to $140 million in the North Americas on its opening weekend.
Damn.
Based on the projections. And they reckon it might get between somewhere $350 to $540 domestically, which then you add the international box office on top of that, and it will be a huge hit. I guess we'll determine whether or not we agree with that by the end of this review.
Sure.
Critically, it has already got 178 reviews. Not bad for a film that doesn't open for another few days.
No shit.
With an average rating of 7.9 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes, which indicates an approval rating of 87%. And on Metacritic, it's getting 73 out of 100 based on 48 critics. Of course, no cinema score at this stage because audiences have yet to be polled.
Mm.
All right, then, Wayne, the non-spoilers, being very careful not to give anything away about this film beyond our general impressions for 2 or 3 minutes. Then we're going to hit the spoiler button and bid adieu to all of you who've yet to see it. Come back after you've watched the film.
Mm-hmm.
See if you agree with us. What did you think, Wayne, of The Batman?
It's so weird having such a nascent kind of review here because I haven't had time to think about it yet. I just saw
it.
I'm just total gut. So here's the thing. This isn't, to me, a very Batman movie at all.
Very different.
If you're a die-in-the-hard, like, world sort of Batman fan, I won't say you have issues with this, but it's not what you expect. This is a noir detective story, and the Sam Spade or the whatever guy is Batman. That's what this is, okay? Even so far as his outfit has got a collar on it that looks a little bit like a fucking trench coat lapel. That's what it looks like. He's actually
interesting.
Yeah, okay. Something. Oh, look at
Did
that.
Did you pick that one up?
Yeah, totally. So it's gritty as hell. I do like it, and I was enthralled throughout the movie. I was looking at all kinds of like the little nods to the DC universe here that they're just sticking in there, but not too much. Just to show you that this is sort of, it strikes me as they're doing like the Joker, but with Batman. Do you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
So it's like that, not quite Scorsese, not quite as well executed, not quite as hard-hitting, but it's that gritty-ass, not very comic-y type film at all. So, yeah, I think I definitely liked it. I definitely liked it. I have to think about it some more. I'm going to have to see it again, but I will tell you this. It's not the type of movie I want to rush out and see again.
Oh, God, no.
No, it's not. Like, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because a lot of great movies are one and done, you know?
Yeah, well, I think we did a countdown of that once. The best movies you've ever watched once.
Absolutely. It's... as Paul is about to tell you, too long. Okay?
It could be shorter.
It's one of those things where the ending is just a little dragged out for
me. Oh, no shit.
You know?
Yeah.
So for that, okay, fine. Some of the performances in it are stellar. I did not recognize Colin Farrell.
No. The makeup job on him, and he disappears into the role.
The way he's talking and stuff, it seems like he's almost doing a little bit of a De Niro thing.
Like, it's weird the way it's like, he does have a very Al Capone sort of vibe.
I suppose he's doing that yesteryear kind of gangster thing, but it's good.
It's a very strange decision to cast one of the better looking sort of middle-aged Hollywood leads
And then make him all...
And make him completely unrecognizable.
Exactly.
But so. more power to him for taking on such a role.
Yeah, I guess. I think R. Patz's performance is good. It doesn't strike me as heroic in the classical sense, and I don't think they're going for that.
No, he's angry.
He's angry. He's angry, very,
emo
very,
Batman.
Yes, and that's why, to the point where he's got the...
The floppy hair.
The floppy hair is one thing, right? But with Batman, every single Batman you see, he's got the black eye makeup, and yep. I've always thought that was weird, because it's like, who would go to the trouble of doing that? But they sort of use it quite well here, because when he's not got the cowl on, he just looks like an emo fucking clown.
Takes it off, it's all
but
smeared.
It looks good. It looks good. So I'm like, okay, well done on making that. So it's well executed, and I like it. So that's, I mean, I'll just say that. Please tell me, what do you think?
I wasn't prepared for just how different this Batman was going to be. I watched those trailers when they first came out. I didn't watch them all. I tapped out after how long.
I only
long.
Watched the first one. I haven't seen anything
before. I might have watched the second one once, and I've just avoided it. And this, unlike, say, Uncharted,
yeah,
where I saw the trailer 4 billion times on every film we went and saw.
And you knew what to expect.
Yeah, and could remember everything from every little bit. There was only two or three things in the trailer that stuck in my mind. So this is a very fresh kind of take for me, and I thought, this was going to be a fairly typical, but maybe a darker and grittier based on the trailer and the images and like than we were used to. But like you say, this is not an action movie. Mm-hmm. This is not mm-hmm. a typical superhero movie, and probably need to be disabused of that notion if that's what you're going looking for.
Yeah.
So like that's it. Did it harm my experience? Maybe. Maybe it added to my boredom, because there were times where I was bored in this movie. I was looking at my watch and I'm like, okay, come on now.
Really?
You've made this scene is dragging on way too long. You've made the point. The endings, which you've referred to, I'm referring to them as endings, it very much felt like that to me. Like there was like three different points the film could have ended.
Return of the King style.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking in my head at the time. I will agree. I think Robert Pattinson is very good as Batman, and I'm genuinely surprised pleasantly by how intimidating and how frightening he is. This film is not your 7 or 8 year old Batman movie.
No, he's not muscle bound. He's cut a little.
He's not, but even the way that he's portrayed in the film, it's is with his menace and this animalistic anger to him. And like even the way he's shot, which is brilliantly done through some of these scenes where he comes up, the darkness in this movie is excellent.
It is so dark, and that's why it's kind of cool.
But I mean, literally, the way they use shadow and darkness, it feels almost like this living, breathing. I know it's a cliche, but not another character, but it's utilized so well, better than any Batman film before.
Sometimes you can barely see things and it works.
Absolutely. That's a spoiler. I won't say that. And I really liked him in the Batman role, but when he's Bruce Wayne, didn't like him at all. Hated. That did not work.
Let's make this point here. This movie is about the Batman.
Sure.
It's barely about Bruce Wayne.
Sure.
And a lot of the other films, it's Bruce Wayne is almost as big, you know, as much of a... This is the Batman, which is great.
Sure.
This is
great. But I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I'm like, ugh, when he was in that role, I didn't buy him for a second.
Really? You didn't buy his Bruce Wayne?
No.
The reason I think the Bruce Wayne part of it worked is that he's still angry as Bruce Wayne. Do you know?
Yeah.
So it's he's the same guy.
I know.
And it doesn't matter.
Look, so it's very different. Maybe I'm just having some trouble adjusting to that.
Well, he's definitely not trying to fool society into thinking he's a foppish millionaire. You know what I mean? No. He's a reclusive motherfucker.
So. I'll get through the technical things. I said 2 or 3 minutes ago, and it'd be more like
seven or eight.
The score in this film by Michael Giacchino is incredible.
I knew you would notice this.
It was so prevalent through this film. I know that maybe it's distracting you from the film, Paul. It helped me through some of these boring scenes. In actual fact, I really dug this score. I will be downloading it onto my Apple Music as soon as I'm out of here tonight and listening through it tomorrow.
Well, what's cool about the score is that it's nothing like any other Batman, Danny Elfman type score. It's a little reminiscent. But it's mostly its own thing. And it's even evoking the... Ave Maria is
Ave Maria is a big theme.
It's a big theme through the whole thing. And it kind of sounds a little like that.
As is Nirvana's Something in the Way from the trailer.
I was wondering if you'd like that. A bit of grunge there, man.
Absolutely. Did enjoy that a lot. So just full big ticks. I think he's now... I said this. I've recently been on the Cinema Guys, Brad from that show, on their Patreon feed, talking Matt Reeves' 3 Apes films.
Yeah.
And Michael Giacchino scored those as well. Mm-hmm. And each of those scores gets better and better. It's just phenomenal. And this film, I think, surpasses all of them in terms of that. Yeah.
Well, that's something.
Wonderful work. And this is coming from a guy who loves the Hans Zimmer scores.
Paul's all about the score, everyone. I barely notice it.
So, yeah, look, overall, I also like the film, but it's too long. It's too plodding in places. And honestly, I'm sorry, there's not enough action, I don't think, in this movie. It could have used more. I don't think the fights are that great when they do occur. So, overall, it's different. It's intriguing. Outstays its welcome. I'm still absolutely giving this a big pass and say, go check it out.
Yeah, it's
but
still
I did
good.
Love it, and I will not go to the movies and watch this movie again. It'll have to be a long time before I sit through it again.
Sure. The thing that you said about how the fight scenes are the way they are, you're right. They are not spectacular, no. And I feel like it's on purpose.
Probably.
Is there? And,
you got $200 million. You could make something huge in that department if you wanted to.
And so that's, and I don't mind that because this is a street level Batman. This whole story is local.
Yeah.
It is low stakes. He's not trying to save the fucking world. He's not trying to do any of that stuff. He's just taking care of his town, his city, his whatever. And that is the essence of Batman. He's not Superman. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go to space and kill motherfuckers. Well, he does, but not in this movie.
not in this world, anyway.
Not in this world, no.
All right, well, that's our general thoughts about the Batman, which obviously, if you're at all interested, you've got this far. Go and see the film. If
definitely
you're,
recommending it.
You have to go and see it.
You got to see it.
And you should see it on the big screen. I think it's worthy of that.
It is.
And then, as we say, come back, listen to the rest of this after that. But otherwise, if you have seen the film, then play on through Jack.
Can't handle the truth.
That's our spoiler warning.
And all testament to the fact that we've had such an in-depth discussion so far, the soundboard has barely been utilized. In fact,
we can be thankful for this.
I promise that no further, Wayne. We can talk freely about the plot, and we can get into some of those developments and what plays out here and what is different and whatever else.
Sure.
Really struck you about the plot?
One thing, I think I said this when we talked about it initially in one of our shows. I'm like, if they do the Bruce Wayne origin story again, I'm going to throw up. And I'm so glad they didn't.
Ooh, right?
I agree.
Let's go.
Once again, a fucking completely irrelevant sign.
What are you talking about? I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't mean if he's a thing. Anyway.
Doesn't. Hi, my name's Paul. We've clearly never met.
I love the fact that he's got about 2 or 3 pieces of really high-tech tech, and that's all. So he's got his eye camera thing, which I love because I could use that in meetings because I forget everything everyone says. I'm like, oh, what did that motherfucker say?
Look, I wouldn't say that. No to that either.
Oh, but yeah. That is great. He's got like there was one sort of wingsuit-y kind of scene, which I didn't expect, which was really, I liked it because it was the most Batman-y thing he did.
I always laugh at those kinds of things though because all I can think of when they're testing this stuff is like,
ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Can you imagine the first time he jumped off something in that suit and tried to make sure it flew?
Well, this is it. But what's nice about that, and this speaks to the realism of the film, he goes and escapes by jumping off a whatever, like, and flies through the city, about to land on a bus, pulls the chute gets caught on a fucking bridge and he almost dies.
Yeah.
I'm like, see, that's pretty good.
Yes, almost dies. Look, Batman gets shot 93,000 times in this movie.
He's very lucky that no one hit his head.
Exactly what I was going to say. Isn't it amazing that, especially with all these sort of right-wing nutters with their guns or whatever, no one until the very last guy thinks, I'm going to aim at your face.
Well, this was a something that was addressed in the 89 Batman. What happened was, whenever Batman was getting shot at, he just puts his fist in front of his face, which is also a bit iffy.
We didn't see that, but that's stupid.
I know.
Doesn't fly in 2020.
For a movie,
it's a small thing, but it just sort of stuck in my craw a little bit.
I mean, he got fucked up.
As did when there's a bloody explosion right in his face and he gets up and his chiseled jaw is perfect. There's not one scratch on it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Come on now, film. You're really stretching it. At least have him turn away and take 3 steps or something.
Yeah, to be honest with you, that thing went off right in his face. I think he stepped once.
He was still facing it.
No, he didn't get 6 feet or anything. No. He got, okay.
Not a single cut.
But, you know, it looked cool. It looked pretty cool.
If I have a complaint about the plot, it is that, apart from the fact that no one can shoot Batman in the face, it's that if you're going to, again, the explosion happens in Alfred, he flings it away, the Riddler, who has absolutely towered up everyone he's dealt with till that point in time, leaves to chance killing Bruce Wayne, with a bomb that can be thrown across the other side of the room and you will survive. I'm like, ugh. If it was really going to go after him, then he should have gone after him.
I knew you would have a problem with this. I knew you would go. I was sitting there when Alfred had the bomb and he threw it and whatever, and it looked like he died. And I was like, oh, this is the thing they're going to do. Because you got to do that. You got to motivate the hero, right?
Yep.
So, but they didn't actually kill him. Now, I'm like, Paul's going to have a problem with that. So, but then they needed him later for the scene for the exposition.
Yeah, I know. But the point is, there needed to be a better explanation for that, or something at the end where the Riddler says to him, I wasn't ever going to kill Bruce Wayne. It's not really his fault. But that doesn't fit with his character because he's so jealous of Bruce being the orphan that he is. So they kind of wrote themselves into a bit of a dumb corner there, I felt like.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul Dano, you only see his face at the very end because the whole time he's masked up. I love the fact that his Riddler outfit is not some green spandex and is fact that fucked up just jacket thing. And that's good, okay?
Yep.
He's playing that. Most of the movie, he's behind the mask and everything, so you don't really see him emote. But when you do see him, and you do, like, he's actually playing it, I can see that, oh, this is his big scene. You know, there's a couple scenes like that.
Yep.
And I liked it. Paul Dano's great. Paul Dano's a very character actor. I can see why they cast him.
Yeah, 100%.
He's an odd-looking fella, and that's great for this. It's really great for this. So,
I 100% agree on everything you said there. Nothing to add. What do you think of Zoe Kravitz?
Okay, so
as Catwoman,
I initially was having like I don't necessarily care for her work.
Oh my god!
But I know Paul, you're a big fan.
Yes, I
know you're a big fan. But she was okay to good in this. I would say she was.
I think she was good. Yeah. I think she. I mean, no one's going to be as sexy as Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns.
I think you mean Anne Hathaway.
Fuck
Paul
that.
Hates Anne
she
Hathaway.
She shits all over Anne Hathaway in this film.
That was another thing. The Batman Returns, Michelle Pfeiffer was playing the comic girl. Yes. Right? This is a whole different thing. She was in the Batman Year One comic. She's actually a prostitute.
Right. Again, this is a much grittier. I mean, the heavy implication is she's been a prostitute in this film too.
Yes,
without actually saying it. Exactly. At least a girl working.
Certainly, yeah, working girl. Yeah. Yeah, of some sort. Yeah.
I thought she was great. In terms of how hot she was and sexy she was, and the chemistry between her and Batman, I thought worked.
Yeah, like, and that's hard to do.
Yes,
because they're both in masks.
Yep, thought that really played out well. I think her performance again. She comes across as not just hot, but very capable, very kick ass. I thought when you saw her and her stunt double doing their work on the screen, it looked really good.
It was fine. It was absolutely
arguably
fine.
Better than Batman's work because it was more fluid and more kicky. And
hers was prettier to look at because she's got long legs and stuff.
But the one thing that shat me about her is Catwoman's mask.
Wait, I was going to say to you that's one of the best things about this.
Oh, gosh, terrible.
Because here it is, right?
Didn't need a Michelle Pfeiffer latex leather thing, but this just little kind of half balaclava thing that's ripped off the bottom. Again, why not just wear a full black balaclava?
Because, Paul.
Because it's not as hot.
Yes, and also, what was good about that was in the dark, was it the Dark Knight Rises? The cool thing about Anne Hathaway's outfit was that she never actually had ears. She just had those goggles that flipped up and looked like ears.
Yep.
In this film, they're giving her a very socky, very like roomy kind of balaclava, which is torn up. And it's got it's just by virtue of the way it's constructed, it's sort of got ears. That's good. That's good. That's as far as you can push a gritty Catwoman. Let's face it, it's Catwoman. That ain't real.
Yeah, right? I know.
Neither's Batman. Sure. But you got to make it look that way. So I actually didn't mind her mask.
No.
What the hell?
No. Will agrees.
No.
You're an asshole.
No.
Jeffrey Wright is one of my favorite character actors working. In fact, he could probably be a leading man in the right kind of role. And I love him as Gordon here. And I love the fact that Gordon is so much bigger player in this movie than he's ever been in any Batman iteration before.
Now, that's a very year one-y type thing.
Cool.
It's actually about Jim Gordon. Yep. And I think I will say he did a great job. Didn't blow me away, though.
I love his voice. He's got such gravitas. He just holds those scenes. And when it's almost like a buddy cop thing at times between he and Batman as they're puzzling through these riddles
and that's
together.
Yes, and that's something that I wanted to mention as well. So you've got, and this is the big challenge for anyone writing a Batman movie, especially one that's supposed to be as realistic as possible. Having a guy dressed as a bat walk among crime scenes and be talking to cops and whatever and this and that is a very hard sell. No one did it better than Nolan because I just didn't question it every time I saw it in a Nolan film. Here, it's done almost as well. I would say in a different way because the cops are still, let this guy in here. What's the going on? No, no, no. You know, they're sort of complaining about it. But
isn't he destroying evidence? He's got gloves on.
Exactly. That's all good stuff. The little drops of humor here and there all work.
There was only three or four in the whole
Very
film.
Few. It's a gritty ass movie.
And I think there was two chuckles among the audience. It's not meant to be.
Absolutely.
We're not looking for Marvel style levity in between, you know, beat line, action scene, beat line. This is not that film.
Well, I did. Yeah, I like that too. As I said, his goal of making a gritty detective story as Batman is a great notion. And I actually think that it's what this franchise can probably use right now.
Well, something different.
Something different. You've got you've had the Snyderverse Batmans. That's a certain thing. Fine. These are clearly very separate movies, very separate universes. Mm-hmm. This thing that he's doing is a great move. And that's why I appreciate it as a movie. It's like good way to go.
Let me ask you this then. This is the first in a proposed trilogy of films. Could you handle another two films with Batman being detective rather than growing into sort of this more superhero-y, larger-than-life character?
Is there really supposed to be a trilogy?
That's the early plan. Obviously, it needs to do well, and that's always a qualified big star next to it for DC films.
It will do well.
I think so.
But I was, oh, okay. I know at the end they're teasing what I assume is the Joker.
Oh, it had to be Joker, right? You got a little look at the side of his face.
Well, he was grinning so loud, so hard, I thought it might be Two-Face because it might be his half his head. Okay. But maybe. I think it's definitely Joker.
The way it was talking.
He was cackling at the
and
end.
And he even made the clown reference.
Yes. So yeah. I think it's definitely supposed to be the Joker.
There's obviously another big spoiler, but that's one of the endings that it could have gone out on. But no, we had another two scenes after that.
Well, I was sitting there going, I wonder if that's Joaquin Phoenix. I don't think it is.
No. Nah.
Because they're not making this team. No, it's not the same.
The voice I recognize, but I couldn't place the actor off the top of my head.
No, not me neither. Okay, so to answer your question, I probably could, but I'll be dead honest with you. I prefer the superhero Batman. They're like, this is a great way to go, and it's very entertaining, mm-hmm. and I like it. But if you compare this to, say, and this is unfair, The Dark Knight.
Well, you say that, but I'm sure the comparisons will come thick and fast, and Snyderverse, Batman, and all the rest of that stuff.
Okay, it's not a patch on The Dark Knight.
I agree. It's good,
but The Dark Knight is one of the best movies I've ever seen. So it's like,
I also agree.
You know? So this is, and I don't think we should compare it because it's not trying to do the same things. I really don't think it is. So,
but you're always going to compare when you have the same character true. In a different iteration. Because yeah. One day, very soon, we could probably do it right now and we could rank our Batmans in order.
There's a show.
Right, and Robert Pattinson is not at the top of my list. He's just not.
He's not, but this is a great effort, what I would say. And
no, but I'm not saying it's bad. Don't get me wrong. At all.
Well, what do you think of... you probably have no opinion on this at all, but his Batmobile isn't really a Batmobile.
Well,
it's just a souped-up car.
Glad you brought this up.
Bring it up.
My favorite scene in the whole film, by a million miles,
the car chase?
Where the film came alive, was the car chase. It is a masterclass of... It's one of the best car chases
so
I've ever
good,
seen.
Isn't it? That was really
it's,
good.
It's the one scene where Matt Reeves lets himself off the chain a little bit and allows him to... He's got some really great camera work skills.
He's mounting a camera on the side of that car and hitting things with it. It's like, oh, that's fucking
awesome.
Good.
And maybe the beat lasts a little bit long, but when the Batmobile comes out of the flames as we're on Cobblepot and he's cackling, I got you.
I think
you
the
freak.
Idea there is that they're cutting back in time to show like the. I know. Still, it was a little bit
it was
long.
Good.
No, it looked cool. It looked great.
It was so good when he came out. And that whole scene was again, the score is perfect. It's got the Batman theme mixed in with all the other bits and pieces we've got. The sound editing on this film is top notch. It may have helped being in a brand new cinema with a kick ass Dolby Atmos system.
Gangster, yeah.
But I couldn't believe how good the effects were in this film. And all that came together in this chase scene, including and when that revelation of the Batmobile comes up, it was awesome.
Yeah, that's cool, right? And it's cool that the car looks like a modified Charger or something. It doesn't look like this sleek kind
much
of
much more down to
earth. It's cool and it fits the movie perfectly. Yep. And even like Wayne Manor, looking at Wayne Manor, it's not stately. It was
in the city, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Gotham is supposed to be this sort of literally gothic type architecture that's everywhere.
Right.
So he is right in the middle of the city, and so it would make sense. But the actual look of the place, I was sitting there going, wow, look at that shot. I would hate to live there. It looks haunted as fuck. It's all just old and shit, but it's good. Like it's like, and also...
Wayne's like,
whoa, hold on.
Too bad we can't stay, baby. Gotta go.
Well, on that point, I like how the Batcave is not... like this gleaming high-tech back. It's sort of, it looks like it hasn't got fuck all security. He just drove into it.
Well, he took some underground tunnels and three or four different turns. And
yeah, but he hasn't got sentry guards and shit. He ain't doing shit. He's just hoping no one finds it.
Exactly. It did feel a bit, telling me no homeless person's gone wandering down there.
Well, when he went down there, right? Yeah, I know. There's like,
I've watched subway movies.
Well, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's under the Wayne Manor or not, because it's got like these arches and it says Wayne something, like the Wayne Foundation. It's like a dilapidated building of some sort.
I just thought it was the middle of the city. I don't think he ever leaves the city in this movie.
No, I don't think he does. I think Wayne Manor might be, in fact, like some...
It's like a high-rise building.
Kind of, yeah. And yeah. I mean, I like that.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I missed it.
But I was sitting there going, where is this Batcave? Because it might even be off-site.
Where is
the Batcave? And so that's also very cool. I like that he still has the fucking grapnel, because you can't really be Batman without the grapnel. I'm glad they didn't
do
that.
Well, I'm glad they pulled out the Batarang at some point, because I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't even see the... Oh, boom, there it is.
It's on his chest.
Yeah.
That's fucking
cool.
That was cool. Yeah, ching. Like, oh, okay, not bad.
I dug that.
And I think that the Batman should be bulletproof. Like, the comic Batman is not bulletproof.
But if you've got a fully automated rifle from 3 feet away and you're firing... Although that scene looked awesome. That's what I was almost alluded to in the spoiler section. With the lighting of it, it's just the... And
that scene!
This was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Then there's like 6 or 7 guards and they're all firing little Uzis at him.
Yeah. That was cool.
And the only lighting is the
that was so good looking, wasn't it?
Muzzle flash.
Yeah, that would have taken forever. And, his armor is plate armor. It's not like Kevlar. So at least if it hits it, it wouldn't actually like sort of bruise him or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's
plates. I mean, eventually shows he gets knocked down and almost dies.
Well, he gets a double barrel to the chest, yeah. Right? And it blows him away. And okay, that's fine. But I like the
adrenaline shot he's got on him in case.
Right.
And a little hole in his armor for that purpose.
That's right. And yeah. So little things like that are very cool. So I think this is a valiant, excellent effort. But I'm not going to tell you that I'm going nuts over it like a Batman fan would, should, does. I am, by the way, a Batman fan, big time.
Yes,
so,
as I said, it's
so I'm saying to you that, like, in this, you know, 1 hour after the film ended thing, I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, well, that's always going to be a way when we do this really quick review, which we don't get to do every time, but we're going to try and do this as often as we can when we see a big film like the Batman.
Can I tell you this though? Right, with the ending, we talked about the ending and to you multiple endings.
Mm-hmm. To me, this is just as egregiously bad as Return of the King.
Oh, come on. I fucking almost walked out of that film. All right. Well, here it is, right? Like you said, there are a couple of endings, but I remember thinking to myself, if it ends here, I'm not impressed. If it ends here, and it didn't end in those spots. So that's why I was easier with it. I remember thinking that once, they had caught like the bad guy or whatever this, that, I'm like, is this it? If that's it, this is not so good.
I knew we had another 40 minutes to go.
Oh, really? Because then he did have another 40 minutes to go. And there was a big set piece when the fucking water comes in and the explosions mm-hmm. and stuff. And that's pretty much like a third of your budget there, right? I was like, okay, good, because you needed to show me something. I know we're doing a local Batman, but if it's just a whodunit and at the end we find out, that's not enough. It's a Batman film
now.
I agree. Big shit needs to happen.
Yeah, and that was a decent end action scene.
Yeah.
Really. I am a little bit perturbed by the lack of seemingly worry about basically the whole of Gotham City flooded. The highest area still got, you know, drowned in Gotham City Garden, which obviously meant to be New York, right?
Which means everyone else is dead.
I'm like, wouldn't that mean that most of the population in the lower lying areas is in real fucking trouble if they didn't get up to the top of a building?
I think so.
And it was like the mayor's just like, yeah, we'll all be cool. No worries. All good. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Well,
given the scale of destruction there, I wanted a little bit more pathos.
Okay. Now, some of our listeners are probably living in New York, which is clearly where this was shot.
Yep.
I don't know, but it looks a lot like New York to me.
Shout out to the Lawless, because they would
know. The Lawless, yes, they will know. Is there... I mean, I've been to New York a bunch of times. I don't recall any low-lying areas that have a seawall.
I don't know.
I don't even know if any cities do that, because it seems like a really bad planning decision.
Yeah.
There's a sea all around us, but we'll be fine with that wall. Yeah.
This is a great place to put a fucking city.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a thing or not. But again, it's all the movie. I'm fine with it. It had to happen. Something had to happen.
Other little nitpicks just to wind it up from my perspective. One, I'm not sure why the mayor had to get shot in the guts and then be walking 5 minutes later like there was no problem at all.
Well, that's...
Like, don't have her be shot. Why did she have to be shot? Why couldn't she just be winged across the arm when Gordon went out there and dragged her to safety? But she literally was holding her gut like she'd been shot in the gut.
Well, I think the redneck dudes who were the inadvertent minions of the Riddler.
Yeah.
Actually, those guys would be good at shooting.
Exactly. She got shot center mass, and yet at the end of the film, she's all good, stand up, they're giving a press conference, and was being dragged out, walking out in that really nice shot of Batman leading them all out mm-hmm. of the...
That was good.
Out of the flooded pit of Gotham City Gardens.
Well, just on that, because like we could definitely pick that and say, hey, everyone had a gun and they were all aiming at her. Why didn't everyone just pull at once? You know, she would have been Swiss cheese. But let's say this. This is the thing that I took from the ending there. So everyone's got a mask on. You know, and they're doing all their bad shit, and they make the point earlier on, your mask is brilliant because that's who you really are.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing here, because they rip the face off one guy, or the mask off one guy, and he's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm vengeance. You know, this is the bad guy saying this, so Batman realizes the error of his ways. Mm-hmm. But the theme or the sub kind of plot or theme or whatever that is that everyone's got a mask. This allows them to do things that they wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
The mask is, in fact, giving you a license to do stuff, and I think that's why that's the paradox in the film. That's a heady note to end
sure.
on. So that's fine.
Well,
it means something.
Not end on. There's still three more scenes after that.
Yeah, okay.
Including a montage. And I have to say, narration. Sorry, your film should not start and end with narration and have none in the middle.
Okay, so here's the thing that I thought you might say, and I will tell you this. The narration thing is a very Batman comic thing. Like, he's always
talking. It's a very
noir
thing, I understand.
It's also very noir.
But it should be through... If it's going to have to be a bit more consistent than just start. You know
well,
what I mean?
I will tell you this.
It's start, stop, and then 2.5 hours go by, 2 hours, 45 minutes go by, and we'll have it again.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I think it's weak filmmaking.
I'll tell you the bigger problem is that if you start the movie, if the Batman is your narrator here, mm-hmm. you're already a little bit close to him. Like, Batman should be mysterious. Batman should be like, you're not quite know. You know, you see something that's going on and you just feel what he feels.
I don't want a 3-hour. Without him telling you. Don't get me wrong. I don't want a 3-hour Batman film with narration. I'm saying we shouldn't have needed narration at all.
I don't know. Yeah. See, they tried this with the. There's a Frank Miller book called The Dark Knight Returns, and they've made a comic, a cartoon of it.
Yep.
And the book is all him, like, narrating.
That's different because all the way through the film.
Well, they took it out of the comic, of the cartoon.
Yep.
And it fucking suffered. Oh, yeah. So, not sucked, but it suffered.
It was fine. It's fine from what I remember.
So, internal monologue is, and I didn't have a problem with it.
A couple other little on-the-nose moments. Bring I don't know we really needed the question mark in the froth on the Riddler's coffee.
That was for the trailer, bro.
And I don't think we needed Batman to look up at the light as Falcone, or whatever his name was, came out and he's like, bring him into the light.
When was that? What did he do?
It was when, just when Falcone gets killed. And he realizes that that was the intention of the Riddler.
Well, he was looking up into the fucking where the shot came from. It's all
no,
right.
No. Was it after shot? Yeah. Anyway, he looked up at the light. No, I think the guy got, maybe, can't remember if it was after he was shot, he was bent over the top of him. Maybe it was.
Oh, okay.
But still, we didn't need the shot of the light shining down.
It's fine with it. It's cinema, man.
Like I said, a little bit on the nose. But overall, they're my bits and pieces. I don't want people just to think I'm only scoring what I'm scoring because of the length. So that is the biggest problem. This film needed a bigger edit, needed a stronger edit,
you know, in what my it was?
Opinion. The and there's a 4-hour fucking cut of this thing wandering around. Apparently Matt Reeves turned into a 4-hour cut.
If it comes out, I'll watch it.
I will.
But did you think, okay, the thing that was probably the issue was that towards the end, now you're saying the very last scenes here, when you're saying goodbye to Catwoman and then they drive off on their motorcycles and then one goes this way and one goes the other way.
Yep.
That was a very long scene.
That's what I'm saying. It was a very, I was saying,
like, guys, wrap it up. Like, I know this. So I was sitting there going, I like this because it's Batman and I love Batman. But I can see how the casual Batman sort of purveyor like yourself would go, what the fuck? Let's wrap this up.
Yep.
So I understand. It was just that it's funny. If you make a serious movie and it's a blockbuster, it's like, because the studio actually wants it to be shorter, not longer, so they can have more sessions.
They turned in 4 hours. I said, get fucked, make it under 3. And he did.
Fuck, if you turn in a 4-hour, that's how it only got to just 3.
Yeah.
So it was, oh my God.
I'm sure he's a smart man. He's a smart man, quite clearly. He went, well, if I start high, then they can only cut me back so far.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, clever boy. Well, let me ask you this. Ben Affleck was going to be this guy. You think it would have worked out?
Not given what we'd had before.
No. If he had never been that Batman. Yeah.
First time Batman, sure. But it wouldn't have worked in terms of this story because it's a very young Batman story.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. In fact, it probably changed right after that. So, because Matt Reeves wrote this, right? So
yeah, with some other dude.
Yeah, so this was always his idea. There you are.
All right then, Wayne, let's do it. Let's score it. I'm clearly going to be harsher on it than you.
Mm-hmm.
So let me lead away.
Go ahead.
I'm scoring this one, based on everything I've said so far, as a soft 3.5, 67.
Okay. 74.
Okay.
74 of 100.
Not that big a difference.
Yeah, not too bad.
Not enough to play the Negatron theme then. If you were over 80, I might...
That wouldn't be Negatron. That'd be you, Negatron.
No, I'd be Negatron.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
I know you've co-opted it for most of the first part of this year.
Not that you.
But I meant for me. But we're close enough. 67 and 74. There you are. It is a recommendation from The Countdown. Do check out The Batman. Why would you have listened this far? You have checked it out, hopefully. Let us know what you thought if you have watched the movie.
Yeah, hit us up.
You can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. Check out the Facebook listener community links in the show notes where we do a lot of interacting with the listeners. And lastly, thecountdownpodcast.com for the website for everything else Countdown related.
Hit it.
That's it from us today. Thank you so much for joining us for this special, very quick, hot off the presses review of The Batman. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
If you're a new listener, Paul uses a soundboard because he doesn't understand comedy. Just try and ignore it.
The comedy, shit. You may have noticed, is in Wayne's shit-ass reactions. We'll catch you next time. See ya.